Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by Sea Koi Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaxation. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We are very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Amity May, a vegan veterinarian in Los Angeles, California. Thank you, Dr. May, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Wow. You are amazing, and you are a pioneer, and you're a leader in the vegan evolution revolution.
Thank you.
Let's start with the plant-based dog health study.
Yes, it's exciting what lies ahead. There's so much out there that we can gain from enhancing the awareness about the benefits of plant-based nutrition for our canine companions. We know already from clinical studies, evidence in case reports, and my clinical practice as a veterinarian over the past 13 years, that plant-based diets do carry benefits for dogs. They generally have improved coat health, less allergies. Beef and chicken are the top allergens for dogs, so relieving skin problems like scratching, itching, chewing, biting, and also a reduction in the toxin ingestion that is inherent in a meat-based diet. There are so many toxins that are in meat-based foods, especially the dog and cat foods these days, because of the way that the food is processed, but also just inherently in the meat itself. There are what are called persistent organic pollutants, and these include dioxins, heavy metals such as mercury and arsenic. Mercury is found in high amounts in seafood, especially arsenic in chicken, and all sorts of carcinogens that are really damaging to the health. And we're seeing such a high rate of cancer nowadays in dogs. 50% of dogs are dying from cancer, so it's an epidemic. Meanwhile, we're seeing dogs that are on plant-based diets live long, healthy lives in comparison. But the science hasn't been solidified in the literature, in the scientific and academic veterinary communities. So the goal of this study is to bring forth concrete, hard scientific data that can be published in a peer-reviewed journal and shared with academia and the veterinary community so that they too can fully embrace this. We already have numerous veterinarians from around the world who support the idea of dogs being on a plant-based diet. And if listeners would like to check out our website, plantbased.dog, D-O-G, they can see a number of dogs that are thriving on these plant-based vegan diets, as well as veterinarians who are in support of these diets. Dogs love plant-based food. It's palatable. There are a number of brands that are already on the market that are approved for dogs. And one of the things that people need to realize is that dogs are actually omnivores. They're not carnivores. And that means that they don't need meat. They can get all the nutrients their bodies need from plant, mineral, and synthetic sources. So they can be healthy and thrive without taking in animal products. And in fact, we believe they can be healthier. As I mentioned earlier, there are persistent organic pollutants present in meat-based foods. And there was one study which demonstrated such high amounts of heavy metals, including mercury, that it was actually at 120 times the reference dosage limit that was deemed acceptable by human standards, as well as 48 toxic chemicals found in the blood and urine of dogs and cats. Many of these were carcinogenic. There's also a concern with the sustainability of feeding dogs and cats a meat-based diet. When we consider that in the United States alone, there are 163 million dogs and cats, and most of those dogs and cats are consuming primarily meat-based foods. That means that if those 163 million dogs and cats comprise their own country, they would be the fifth largest meat-eating country on the planet. which is staggering to think about the effects on our planet's resources, land, water, cropland, as well as the human rights and, of course, animal rights implications of that, when there are people who are starving on this planet who don't even have enough food to eat. And then we're funneling all this grain, corn, and soybeans to be fed to cows and chickens and pigs who are slaughtered to be then fed to dogs and cats who don't actually need to eat meat. So we're trying to bring about an awareness of this through this study effort. People can join us at plantbased.dog and stay tuned for updates. Donate to the study to reach our goal so we can begin this study and also perform a toxin analysis, because we believe that there are definitely significant differences in the toxin levels of hormone residues, antibiotic residues between the meat-based foods and the vegan foods. There are many vegan diets that are already on the market available for dogs that are excellent, and we've seen over the years that dogs that are eating these foods have reduction in allergy-associated skin and ear infections, improved body weight, improved digestion. The increased fiber of these foods tends to help prevent anal gland problems and have fewer issues with problems like bovine spongiform encephalopathy that can occur with infected meat products that are hard to detect because these are prion-related diseases. There could also be less incidences of cancer and other degenerative diseases, such as arthritis, because of the lower toxin load from the plant-based foods.
The plant-based dog health study, and that's happening at Western University?
Yes, correct. Dr. Tonatiuh Melgarejo is the principal investigator, and he's been wanting to do this research for a very long time. And he's seen in his own clinical practice improvements in the health of dogs, even reversals of intestinal disorders such as IBD, who were switched to plant-based foods. So we really are excited about the prospect that this research holds for the future of the health of our canine companions, as well as the One Health concept, which is embracing the fact that we're all one on this planet, whether we're human, non-human animal. Our planet needs to be united in our common goal to preserve our natural resources, respect fellow earthlings, and do right by our fellow earthlings. So this is something that carries so much promise for the future in terms of opening people's minds and hearts to the realities of protecting animals and being consistent in our beliefs.
Absolutely. And again, I'm really grateful for the veterinarian who is at Western University on this project, and he's from Mexico?
Yes, that's right.
Wonderful. Yeah, I really think that your study is going to be a very significant shift maker.
Absolutely. It's going to challenge some core beliefs that some people have. You know, a lot of people believe that dogs must have meat, or that they're designed to eat meat, or that it's natural for dogs to eat meat. But when we look at the fact that dogs have been domesticated for the past over 15,000 years, living alongside humans, they have developed the ability to digest carbohydrates much more so than their wolf ancestors. And in fact, they have many more genes than wolves do for digestion of starches or carbohydrates. And they have adapted. So when we look at what's actually happening to dogs now, all the diseases they're afflicted with, which are more than ever before, we have to step back and look at that critically. And we have to start thinking about what's contributing to that. And certainly the toxins in the food must be playing a significant role.
And how about cats?
So cats, while they are considered obligate carnivores, they can do well on plant-based diet, provided their nutritional needs are met, which are outlined by the American Association of Feed Control Officials, or AFCO. It's important that they have taurine, which is, of course, supplemented in the food. And I would like to point out that even meat-based cat foods have supplemental taurine added because of the fact that the high temperatures the food goes through renders the taurine unavailable, so they end up having to add it back in anyway. So besides the fact that cats should have a balanced diet that meets their nutritional needs, which can be accomplished from vegan and synthetic sources, they should also have their nutritional status monitored, meaning that if they're losing weight, which could suggest they're not eating sufficient calories, or their urinary tract health is compromised, those areas that do need to be closely monitored, particularly with male cats because of their anatomy. And this can happen to non-vegan cats as well, but male cats, especially if they're on a dry food diet, have the potential to form crystals in their urine. And this can be a life-threatening condition, in which case they'll be needing emergency care with urinary catheterization, IV fluids, and close monitoring until their obstruction of the bladder has been relieved and they're able to urinate on their own. And this can happen to non-vegan cats as well, and it does, but it can happen to vegan cats if they're on kibble diets and they're prone to this issue if their urinary tract health is not monitored closely. So I do recommend for people who want their cats to be on plant-based diets to check a urine sample, ideally before switching to the vegan food, and then a couple weeks after switching, so we have a comparison before and after. And then periodically, about once a year if there's no issue, or more frequently as needed if there is a concern of an elevation in the urine pH, which can then increase the risk for crystals. But to minimize the risk of crystals, a moist or wet diet is ideal, or at least an equal mixture of wet and dry. If the cat really likes dry food, or for convenience purposes, it's easier to do the dry food, at least having some wet food, or even watering the wet food down to increase moisture intake and hydration, so that way the urine is more dilute and therefore less likely to form crystals, which can obstruct the urethra. In a female cat, while they can form crystals, they're not prone to the blockage condition or urethral obstruction that male cats are prone to. But it still is a good idea to ensure adequate water intake to prevent stones from forming down the road, which can happen to males or females.
Thank you, Dr. May. And I'd like to ask you about that. When I look at the ingredients on the meat-based cat food, and whether it's turkey or beef, things like that, when you look at nature, cats wouldn't be eating those kind of animals anyway. And then also, if you could discuss the horrendous products that end up from slaughterhouses into the cat food.
Definitely. The meat meal and byproducts that end up in cat food and dog food are some of the worst ingredients: slaughterhouse rejects, spinal cord, brain tissue, which could contain prions from spongiform encephalopathy or mad cow disease, could also contain diseased lesions, dying, diseased, disabled, dead bodies of these poor creatures that are being subjected to horrific abuses in the slaughterhouse, and leading up to that, of course, too, which then carries with it all the toxins that are bioaccumulated. We talked about toxins earlier. Toxins bioaccumulate up the food chain. Cats, too, are suffering from a very high incidence of cancer. Close to 40% of cats nowadays are suffering from cancer. So we do need to be mindful of this for their health as well, that even though there are some issues to be careful of regarding urinary tract health, there are health benefits to a plant-based diet, because it is not as toxic as the meat-based diets for them too. But with a balanced approach and understanding the need to monitor their health. Now, there are cats who are very picky eaters who may refuse to eat the food. And if that's the case, they have to have a tailored approach. I'm not advocating starving cats or doing anything cruel to the cats, but cats do have the ability to transition in many cases if patience and nutritional yeast can be used as a way to entice them. If one is patient, they can often transition over the course of a couple of weeks to a plant-based diet. And even if it's not 100% that way, you know, any transition towards more plant-based is that many fewer animals being slaughtered, and hopefully some improvement in the cat's health as well.
We're listening to Dr. Imaiti May, a vegan veterinarian in Los Angeles, California. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. After this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. May.
Namaskar. Greetings. This is Mohan, host of the Indian music program, Saptaswar. Join me, Raju, or Sagar every Sunday night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Listen and enjoy an hour of Hindustani and Carnatic style of Indian classical music, followed by an hour of contemporary music from Indian movies, Bollywood, and other Indian languages. Saptaswar, Sundays at 6 p.m. at 91.3 FM WCUW and streaming live at wcuw.org.
Please join us on Vegan Nation right here on WCUW 91.3 FM every Thursday, 4 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Vegan Nation features local, national, and international news, events, interviews, and music on the vegan lifestyle. Listen worldwide at WCUW.org. Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and the globe. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, it's Nancy from Angel Band.
And Allie Page from Angel Band.
And you're listening to Community Radio WCUW in Worcester, 91.3. Streaming at WCUW.org.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. We're joined by Dr. Imaiti May via Skype in Los Angeles, California. Dr. May is a vegan veterinarian, and she is the head of the Plant-Based Dog Health Study. Thanks again, Dr. May, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you for having me. And I am very excited about the support we're getting for this study. It's been really heartening to see all the comments of support and the donations for this study. And just to be clear, I'm not the one who's conducting this study. Dr. Mel Garejo at Western University is the principal investigator. I am in communication with him, and we are working together to raise the necessary funds. We've reached out to university sources, but unfortunately, due to the political divisiveness that comes from these controversial issues, which really shouldn't be controversial, but since they threaten people's core beliefs, I suppose they are deemed too controversial for some academicians to even explore. But Dr. Mel Garejo is so brave and is pushing the envelope and even embarking on this study. And I'm so proud of this effort, and I'm proud to be involved in it. I think we have the potential to make sweeping changes in the way people look at nutrition, not only for their own animal companions, but for themselves too. And some of these people themselves may not be vegan, who feel threatened by these changes, and it may allow them to take another look at food from a global perspective.
Yes, and let's talk about that a little bit more too. I'm glad that you also mentioned the environmental factors before the break. That's very important.
Yes, for sure. So there is a tremendous amount of water, rainforest destruction, a CO2 release, and grain that's used to produce meat products and dairy.
For our listeners who would like more information on the plant-based dog health study, you can visit plantbased.dog.
That's right. We are collecting funds through plantbased.dog, and we'll be collecting donations as long as we need to for the next month or two, and we will extend it into the summer up until September if necessary. But we need to get these funds in as soon as feasible so that we can commence this important study. It'll be an ethically conducted study in which we have 25 dogs on meat-based food and 25 dogs on plant-based food. And this has been arranged this way for statistical significance purposes, have adequate statistical power to be able to have this published in a peer-reviewed journal, which would stand up to scientific scrutiny. These dogs would be monitored, and they'll be in people's homes. They'll be treated well. They're people's animal companions. And they would have their blood checked every couple of weeks, including amino acid profiles, fatty acids, vitamins, bulk chemistry, and complete blood count would be checked as well as part of this health study. And if this is done, it will really put this on the map for the academic community to begin to pay attention to this and to recognize this is a reality. And this will be a spark for future studies to be conducted as well, so we can expand this knowledge around the world.
Thank you, Dr. May. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about you personally. How long have you been vegan?
I've been vegan about 19 years, and I was raised vegetarian by my mom, whose father, my grandfather, had witnessed a pig being slaughtered in Malaysia on their way from India to the United States. And from that point onward, he had vowed with my grandmother to never eat land animals again. So my mom and her siblings were raised pescatarian, essentially. And then my mom raised me vegetarian. And then when I learned about what happens to dairy cows and egg-laying hens, I decided I didn't want to be a part of that cruelty. And I decided to go vegan when I was 18. It's been really the best decision I've made. And I've really been so humbled to be a part of this movement to raise awareness about the plight of animals and set things right for them, be an advocate for them. So I've started a group called VAPA, Veterinary Association for the Protection of Animals. And this group is aimed to raise awareness about the benefits of veganism to the veterinary profession. This is so important because when I was in vet school, I noticed a lot of people around me weren't vegetarian or vegan. And I was surprised by this because I thought, well, if people are going into this profession to help animals, I would think they'd be open to being plant-based or vegan. And yet many of them were not on board with that at all. And in fact, I felt ostracized by some of my classmates for being a vegan animal rights activist when I was in vet school. So I quickly realized there was a need for better humane surgical teaching methods in vet school training, as well as an atmosphere of education about the benefits of veganism to attract people who love animals and are potentially great future veterinarians to be allowed into this profession, invited into it, and therefore be able to help animals all the more. So we really do need more animal-friendly veterinarians in this field.
Yes, thank you. And let's hear a little bit about your business in Los Angeles.
Well, I do house calls for dogs and cats in the LA area. I go around to people's homes and I do dental cleanings, blood work, acupuncture, laser treatments. I'm also starting to do homeopathy, which is really interesting. And I've taken some training in ozone therapy. So I do a variety of holistic as well as conventional medications and herbals as well when indicated. And it's a great business. I think that a lot of people appreciate the service. Having someone come to the home is a lot less stressful on the animal than having to have them come into the clinic. I do have access to a clinic where I can do surgeries as needed for patients that are house call patients of mine, such as spays and neuters. And I do some volunteer work with the homeless as well. So I do kind of a variety of activities in the LA area. But if people want to get involved with any of my nonprofit activism, I would welcome support and involvement. We have our website is vapavets.org, and we would love to get people interested in this so we can start doing more documentary screenings at clinics wherever, but certainly in the LA area. But if people are interested in approaching their veterinarians where they are and being in contact with me, we can help support those efforts and be involved to help bring about more vegan-friendly veterinarians and vegan options at veterinary conferences. Also, I'm working to have more awareness about the benefits of humane surgical teaching methods in vet schools. When I was in vet school at UC Davis, I was president of the Student Animal Welfare Committee, and we organized a surgery training wet lab, which is a surgery training experience for students using what are called ethical source cadavers. These were from dogs and cats were donated after their guardians had donated the remains. The pets had been euthanized for humane medical reasons in most cases and or had died of natural causes. And these cadavers were donated to the program, and we had a surgeon teaching the wet lab. And subsequent to this, the school got rid of the elective terminal surgeries in which healthy animals were killed as part of a surgery training experience for vet students. And then we ended up having a senior rotation offered where students could perform surgeries that were actually needed on animals with faculty supervision. At Western University, the same school that's going to be conducting the plant-based dog study under the direction of Dr. Melgarejo, they have what's called a Willed Animals for Veterinary Education program, or WAVE program, which is essentially a body will donation program. And one of the services they offer in my house call practice is at-home euthanasia, of course only for animals who are in dire straits and in suffering conditions that need to be relieved. And one of the things that's an option for clients is to donate their animals' remains to this program so that students can learn anatomy without having to have healthy animals killed for this. And so I think it's a really progressive program. They have a reverence for life philosophy, and I would love to see other vet schools start this program as well. So if anyone out there who may be listening who's affiliated with a vet school or knows someone who's in vet school who's interested in this, we can connect and direct them to our website for resources, again, which is vapavets.org.
Thank you, Dr. May. So again, that's vapavets.org, VAPAVETS.org.
Yes.
Great. And we're coming to a close in the interview for today, Dr. May. Are there any additional messages that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
continue to speak up for the animals. They're relying on us to be their voice. And remember that even if you can save one life, you've made a world of difference for that one. So never give up and keep up the good fight, because it'll be worth it.
Yes, indeed. And again, one more time with your contact information.
My email address is veganvet@gmail.com, and my website is veganvet.net.
Thank you very much, Dr. May. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We're listening to Dr. Imaiti May, a vegan veterinarian in Los Angeles, California.
Dr. Richard Pitcairn has a book out called The Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats, and the fourth edition of this book outlines a number of the benefits of plant-based diets for dogs as well as cats, and includes recipes. So with those homemade recipes, you do want to make sure to include a supplement, which you can order from CompassionCircle.com.
Again, I'm just greatly honored so much. I think so highly of you.
Thank you, Marlene. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Serve every creature that they shall be free.
That's musician Vegan Smythe in Australia. And please join us next week. We'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Yarrow, wishing you a good day.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by Sea Koi Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaxation. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
The One Health concept, which is embracing the fact that we're all one on this planet, whether we're human, non-human animal. Our planet needs to be united in our common goal to preserve our natural resources, respect fellow earthlings, and do right by our fellow earthlings. So this is something that carries so much promise for the future in terms of opening people's minds and hearts to the realities of protecting animals and being consistent in our beliefs.
That's Dr. Imaiti May joining us on Vegan Nation. Let's go out with this song by Joy Askew, A Change Is Gonna Come.
Like to try and melt a heart that's cold as ice.